Alexi, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks very much for joining us on the program. And again, Alexi.
Pleasure.
The Ukraine deal with the European Union, how does it differ from most countries?
Well, we need to understand the geopolitical circumstances under which this deal was signed. It came into force on September the 1st, 2017. Effectively, it was an agreement to allow Ukraine to develop stronger economic ties and subsequently political ties with the European Union in light of mounting political crisis between Ukraine and Russia following the annexation of Crimea, crisis in eastern Ukraine and the eruption of a violent conflict there. And that was all that were all a result of the so-called Maidan Revolution exactly 5 years ago, which saw the ousting of President Viktor Yanukovych and a radical shift of Ukraine away from I wouldn't say pro-Russian direction, because despite the Western perceptions that Yanukovych was pro-Russian president, he actually very pursued the pro-European integration fairly aggressively. Yet Ukraine's economy dependent on the Russian market and mutual and had a very strong degree of economic interdependence with Russian economic counterparts, hence the heritage from the former Soviet Union. So once this conflict erupted, it quickly became not about who is going to be in power in Ukraine, who is going to effectively set course for the future political, economic, and strategic direction of the country, whether it's going to be towards Eurasia and Russia, or whether it's going to be Eurasia and EU. It became the conflict between Russia and the West over Ukraine. So the agreement, and that's important to understand, because that's a political background to the agreement that really can explain the specific circumstances under which Ukraine was given this agreement. Ukrainian economy, since hitting the crisis, continued to decline. Once really powerful and well-established industrialized nation, it began losing its core capabilities, particularly in the field of aerospace industry, shipbuilding, car and vehicle manufacturing, and so on and so forth. Yet Ukraine is an important agricultural player. So while with the imposition of Russia's sanctions on Ukraine following the ousting of Yanukovych and the mounting crisis between the two countries, Ukraine had lost significant access to Russian markets, to Russian enterprises, and so on and so forth. So for Europeans, it was absolutely vital to see Ukraine being supported in one way or another in order to go through this transition, in order for Ukraine to achieve its divorce from Russia. But they wouldn't be prepared to simply engage in some sort of an unconditional charity. So they began offering incentives for the Ukraine to shift towards the West by conditionally opening European markets to Ukrainian produce. How competitive it is, that's a different question. But more importantly, they also wanted to have access to a fairly vast Ukrainian market. The population at the time, prior to the crisis, of some 40 million or so. And that explained certain conditions ranging from lifting visa restrictions so Ukrainian nationals can travel to Europe without having to have visas, to investment in Ukrainian energy infrastructure, for Ukrainian authorities to have access to European Investment Bank, to these mutual agreements about which commodities can go where, and increasing share of Ukraine's presence on the European market in exchange for Ukraine giving effectively free access to European goods to be sold on its markets.
Well, we can certainly see in the debate around Brexit how that would be incredibly beneficial to the UK. I mean, this is very much, you know, if it was to take the shape of that Ukrainian deal that you mentioned right there, we'd be very much talking about a soft Brexit where there is still the free exchange of goods with mutual agreement, and there's still the free travel of British citizens into much of the EU. But can the European Union, given the circumstances, those rather dramatic circumstances that led to the Ukrainian deal, can the European Union actually justify making the same sort of deal with the UK?
I'm not sure it can, because once again, and that's why I took my time explaining the background to the agreement between Ukraine and the EU, that UK and Ukraine are incomparable in terms of political weight, in terms of state of the economies. Ukraine economy is a developing economy and is currently in the state of crisis. It needs, in order for it to survive, in order for the current pro-Western regime to survive in Ukraine, it needs as much investment and as much aid and as much support as possible. UK is, on the other hand, is one of the economic and political powerhouses of Europe. It can stand on its feet. Pound was very strong national currency and was a welcome regional currency. So the circumstances between the two are incomparable. Yet the choice of the press of the Brexit by British nationals can potentially create a significant precedent when a powerful nation, a massive, an important deal breaker, a massive contributor to EU combined economy, chooses to exit the EU, which took a lot of time to be assembled, to be maintained, because questions were raised about why do we need to shift to this international superstructure, breeding bureaucracy in Brussels, abolishing borders, and sort of losing a degree of national sovereignty. And that's always been strong in the UK, as well as some other countries. So there is a risk for this precedent to trigger a chain reaction where the other countries that may consider to be treated unfairly or not being seen benefiting from the EU membership, or in fact acting as donors to weaker countries such as Ukraine, such as other Eastern European countries, and so on and so forth, would want to follow UK's example. So I think in these circumstances, the bureaucracy in Brussels, who probably felt very shaken by a British decision, would probably want to make the exit for the UK out of the EU, not maybe as painful as possible, but certainly as vigorous as possible, not cutting any relaxation deals, not giving them special circumstances, because once again, I think they want to demonstrate to the UK unity, but more importantly, they want to demonstrate to all other remaining members of the EU their resolve to fight for the future of the EU, to not see this being a massive crack in the EU foundation, let alone the superstructure, and obviously to demonstrate, well, if you leave the EU, the cost would be fairly significant.
So ultimately, it doesn't really sound like there's much of a solution here for the UK, more so perhaps wishful thinking from the types of people that really didn't want a Brexit in the first place.
Well, perhaps so, because clearly there is a kind of everything going across the UK. The Brexit and the way how it's been managed already caused significant political fallout in the UK government. Now, the question of Theresa May's future as Prime Minister has been put into on the table. So I mean, a number of solutions has been proposed. Obviously, the UK always felt very special within the EU as part of the United Europe. It always wants to occupy a special position. So it's not surprising that the political establishment or elements of the political establishment in London come up with a variety of proposals for the UK to retain this special status, perhaps also under the impression that UK can survive without the EU, but EU would struggle without the UK. So they're probably trying to engage in this soft blackmail, and perhaps that's how this proposition, why don't we strike a deal similar to one you have reached with Ukraine, also with assistance of the UK, can be put on the table. But as I have said earlier, UK cannot be compared to Ukraine. And the circumstances under which Ukraine were granted that agreement were exceptional. I think I would have serious doubts that under normal circumstances, Ukraine would be given such a massive sweetener the way it received last year. So for Britain to ask or seek a similar type of sweetener after what they have done, effectively, from the EU viewpoint of view, despite the Salisbury attack, despite the fact they want to play up the Russia card or something along those lines, I don't think it would warrant an agreement. Well, at least this is my humble opinion.
Well, it seems absolutely fascinating sort of take on the situation. Lexi, thank you very much. Really appreciate your insight.
Thanks very much for having me.